Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Father, we come before you this morning with enthusiasm and excitement about your word today, that we esteem your word and treasure your word. We value your word, how precious, how dear it is to our hearts, Lord God, that you sent your word and you healed us and delivered us from all our destruction. We thank you today for the word of God that does not return unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. We thank you for the great and mighty Holy Spirit who indwells and lives in us as the greater one, hallelujah, to bring the revelation, knowledge, and understanding into the heart of each listener here today. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you will do and say today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to welcome all those online with us this morning. Thank you for joining with us this morning. Hallelujah. A church online is worth your time. But it's even better if you can get in the place where it's being taught. Praise the Lord. So we're just glad that you joined us today. Amen. I have a word that I want to start out with this morning. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 11, the Lord quickened this, the Spirit of God quickened this morning to me early. And whether you're online and it's for you, or you're in this room today and it's for you, but this is his word this morning. Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 11. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, would you question me about things to come concerning my children and concerning the work of my hands? Would you command me?" What is God saying here? He's saying concerning the, this is the part that I want to put the emphasis on. Concerning the work of his hands, he said, would you command him?
Yes.
Who's to command him?
We are.
We are. Exactly. And then in Isaiah 44, verse 26, it says, the Lord, I'm reading from the Amplified Version this morning, the Lord who confirms the word of his servants. How many have servants in here of the Lord this morning? That's what I'm talking about right there. It says, the Lord who confirms the word of his servants and performs the counsel of his messengers. Glory to God. Well, I got a word this morning early concerning bones in your body. And he took me to this and he says, command me concerning the work of my hands. And then he took me from there. He says, I confirm the word of my servants, what you say, what you speak. And then he said, go to Ezekiel chapter 37. So I went to Ezekiel chapter 37 and he took me to verse 4. And in verse 4, he said, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Who's to prophesy to the bones? You are. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them. You are to say to those bones in your body. This is for whoever is having bone problems. He confirms the word of his servants. He says, command me concerning the work of my hands. You command me concerning the work of my hands. Then he says, this is how you do it. You prophesy to those bones. You command those bones. He said, say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Woo! Glory to God. When I heard this morning, I was like, glory to God. He said, verse 5, "And thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. Prophesy to those bones and say to those bones, you shall live." Wow. My God. Said, "Say to those dry bones, you shall live in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. He says, "You prophesy." He said, "I watch over your work. I watch over what you say as my servant. I watch over it and perform it and make it good in your life. But you prophesy. You say to it." Woo, we're not waiting for God to say anything to it, are we? No, he says right here, "You, concerning the work of my hands, you command me. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to those bones," yeah, "and I command those bones." Yeah. "Dry bones, you're going to live in Jesus' name. I speak life to those bones in Jesus' name. I command those bones to get in line with the word of God in Jesus' name." Now, whether you're online or you're in here in this room, that is just an instruction from the Lord. Here's how it works. Here's how you do it. Here's how it works. Here's how you do it. You believe. You believe. He said, "Concerning the work of my hands." He's the great physician. He's the healer. He's already provided everything you'll need for healing right here, right now. We're not waiting for it someday. No, it's already been provided. He's waiting for you and I to what? Take hold of that. Lay hold of that promise. What promise? That by his stripes you were healed. He's waiting for you to what? Believe it, receive it, take it, make it your own. He wants you to own it. Hallelujah. He says, so you prophesy, you say to those bones, if you're having trouble with your bones, or they're telling you something and the doctor's report wasn't good concerning your bones, you say to those bones, "Bones, in Jesus' name, I command you to live in Jesus' name. I speak life to those bones." So that was for somebody in here this morning, online. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's so good. He loves her so much. Hallelujah. Never forget how powerful the word of God is out of your mouth, because you believe it. You believe in what you're saying because God has said it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to get it in your mouth and you to release those words out of your mouth. And they're just as effective, just as powerful as when the day that he spoke the universe into existence. Never forget that. They're just as powerful, just as effective, just. Woo, glory. Glory, glory. He says, "I am the Lord who confirms the word of my servants." What does it tell us in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12? "I watch over my word to perform it, to make it good in your life." He watches over. He watches over my feelings, Pastor Deb. He watches over his word. We got to get past our feelings. He watches over his word. Feelings are the voice of your body, and we have to learn to what to do with our, we have to harness our emotions. We have to bring, we can't allow our feelings to dictate to us what we have or what we don't have. We have to know that the word of God has already said what we have and what we don't Feelings are the voice of your body. We don't want to allow the voice of your body to rule and dictate to you. Nope. Hallelujah. And that comes through meditation on the word of God. That's how you take ownership of that word, through meditation, thinking on it, dwelling on it, taking one scripture at a time. Like I said, when I worked in the shipyard, I made the most of riding on that bus. And then we went from a bus to a van. I made the most of riding that time that I was riding to pull out one verse a week. And I would meditate on that verse all week, mutter it to myself, speak it out loud, share it with Pastor Chris. He'd share scripture with me. over and over and over again and never get tired of it. To this very day, it never changes. It never stop. You never stop that process. Never, never, never. Always meditation on the Word. That's what Joshua said in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. Woo, day and night. Hallelujah. So God's word is all powerful. It's life-giving. Life-sustaining, life-preserving. It is all that He is. It can do all He can do. It is all sufficient. Everything you need, His Word. Quickening. Powerful. Yep. It's the best medicine you could ever take. Amen. So let's move on. We have been on a series now on staying spiritually fit. Are you spiritually fit? Are you staying spiritually fit? And how vitally important that it is to stay spiritually fit. Where people go out and spend money every single year and all these fitness centers, and they're building the outward man muscles and keeping themselves strong and healthy. But yet on the same thing, on a different page, there are you spiritually fit? Because the outward man will be no more good to you than your inward man. Let me say that again. The outward man will be no more good to you than your inward man. If your inward man is weak, it's the strong spirit of a man that will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Yeah. And we've been talked about staying spiritually fit and keeping that inward man built up and strong, which it has. You have to feed the Word of God. Yeah. You feed your faith. The Word of God is faith food. It is spirit man food. You feed on the Word of God constantly, every day, every morning, every night. The Word of God. We're talking about forming good spiritual habits. Yeah. Just like you would if you went to the gym and you worked out every day. We're talking about the spiritual gym that you're working out the Word of God every day. Right. The Word will do you no good until you begin to do something with what you know. Right. You'll never grow until you begin to do something with what you know. You can gain all this knowledge, all this information, but it does you no good until you begin to do something with it. Apply it to your life. Use it. Exercise it. Right. Hallelujah. So staying spiritually fit. Are you spiritually fit? The importance, and we started last week on knowing why faith is so important to the life of the believer. We need to know about faith. Well, if he tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is. Yeah. Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. So faith, the God kind of faith, is always in the present tense. If it's not now, it's not faith. Let me say that again. The God kind of faith is always in the now, the present tense. If it's not now, it's not faith. Hope is always futuristic. Hope is a good goal setter, but it's not faith. Faith says we have it now. It's mine now. I take it now according to the Word of God. God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Well, one translation says, will I find persistence in faith when I come back? Woo! And we want to give up after 2 days. Well, I didn't see nothing, Pastor Debbie. I didn't feel nothing after 2 days. What about after 2 days? God is not in the realm of time. We have to remember that. We serve a God of timelessness. Time is only in this realm, in this, on the earth that we're living in. So we can't allow time to move us or get us off our faith and trust in what he has said. We just know this. The Bible says that we're to redeem the time, make the most of the time that we're being given. So when you have this time, you're spending it wisely. You're meditating on the word. You're speaking that word. You're acting on that word. Hallelujah. You're exercising your faith on that word. Glory to God. Because faith is so important. Just a quick review. We said this about faith. We cannot be saved without faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. We said you cannot live for God without faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what God has said. Here's another one. We can't walk the Christian walk without faith, because it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Notice it said, not by sight. And this is where that body, that physical body of your five senses want to cut in and break in right there and get you to look at what you're feeling or seeing. But we have to go back and remember this. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, a will, a mind, your reasoning, your intellect, your emotions, and we live in a physical body. So the physical body is not the real you. Even though you might be feeling something, seeing something, the doctors have told you something about this outward man, that's not the real you. That's the house or the shell that your spirit man and soul live in. But we are to be the steward over this house. In other words, you are to declare and take dominion over what comes in your house and what doesn't come in your house. Sometimes we have to clean house. Things try to creep in there. Doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, strife, envy, jealousy, all those things that try to creep in there that affect the outward man, the house that we live in. But Jesus said, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. He said, we're to live by it. It's not an option. So if he said it, then we should do everything that we can do to learn this life of faith. Learn what it's all about. Learn how it works. If we know this. We also said this, that we can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. For without faith, what? You can't please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it takes faith to know God. It takes faith to believe God. It takes faith to receive from God. It takes faith to please God. So when Jesus said, when I come to the earth, he said, will I find people using their faith? Will I find people in faith and persistent in faith? Having that keeping on attitude, keeping on tenacity, keeping on, not giving up, not giving in, not being moved. Right. You're not moved by time. You're only moved by what the word said. Paul said, when he was shipwrecked, 276 soldiers on the boat with him in Acts, the end of Acts chapter 26, I think, or 27. But he said, none of these things move me. He was surrounded with a lot of opportunity to be moved, but he said, none of these things move me. I will not be moved. So, faith plays a big part in the life of the believer. And if you want to please God, then we should want to know all about it and how to live this life of faith. The just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight, feeling, seeing, but what the Lord has said. And we should do like it says. You know, Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, you'll never get away from these two fundamental elements of faith. Yeah. What you believe with your heart and what you say with your mouth.
Right.
What you believe with your heart, what you say with your mouth on a continual basis. All the time, what are you saying with your mouth? What are you believing
right.
with your heart? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, what does it say? It's with the heart of man that he believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, healing, provision. With the heart man believes, not with your feelings you believe. God did not give you a physical body to believe him with. He gave you a heart, a brand new heart with a brand new start on the inside, a brand new spirit, recreated, born again spirit on the inside. That's full of, when he gave you that new spirit on the inside, is full of his life, his nature, and his ability.
Yeah.
It has his life, his nature, and his ability. So we want to become more and more better at this faith life and pleasing our Heavenly Father. We looked at a couple of examples last week, and I just want to review real quick. Number one, we looked at Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. We talked about the centurion that came to Jesus, and he came on behalf of his servant who was ill, very ill. And the centurion told Jesus, he said he had his servant lying at home ill. Jesus said, I'll come to him. And the centurion said, no, you don't need to come to my place, because my place just ain't fit for you to come into. But if you just speak the word only, I know my servant will be healed. If you just speak the word. In other words, he said, I also am a man under authority. I say to this soldier, go, to that one, come, and he comes and he goes. He said, just at my command. He said, I understand that you, Lord Jesus, are a man of authority and you walk in that authority. I recognize it on you. So I know if you just command it to be so,
yeah.
it will be so. And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold right there.
Yeah.
That centurion understood. He had heard the right things about Jesus.
Yep.
What did he hear, Pastor Debbie? Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What did he hear? That Jesus was saying, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me. So he heard the right things, and actually he saw some things too as Jesus was going about in healing. So he knew he could heal. So he just said, you just speak it. You just command it, Lord Jesus, and I know it will happen. And what did Jesus say? He said, as you have believed. As you have believed. And his servant was healed. Woo, glory to God, glory to God.
Yeah.
That man just needed the word. And we have a whole book of the word. By my stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes you are healed. You are healed. Psalms 107, verse 20. I sent my word and healed you. and delivered you from all your destruction. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives us of all our iniquities, who heals us of all our diseases and sicknesses. Well, all means all. It covers all. Doesn't leave anything out, does it? No. Peter looking back to the cross, Peter looking back. He bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Come on now, we got the word. Somebody, God has given us his word. He's already spoke his word. He's declared his word. He's waiting for you to get a hold of that word and declare it and make it so. Believe it, receive it. Your part is to believe it. God's part is to perform it. Sometimes we try to bring it to pass. No, you're not the one to bring it to pass. You're the part. You do your part by believing. You do your part by believing. You do your part by believing. Believing with your heart, saying with your mouth. Remember in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, hallelujah. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, and he just given them a faith lesson. When they got to the fig tree, and Jesus looked on that fig tree for some figs, but it did not have any figs on it. It was a hypocrite tree. So Jesus cursed that tree, and it withered up from the roots up. Notice it affected what was not seen all underneath, and then it came and it exposed and began to affect what was above the ground. A lot of times when our faith is released and we say, all right, this is my moment right here. I'm believing, I receive right now. This is my stand of faith. From that very moment, we don't realize so many times that many times a lot of the unseen is taking place. Right. So it can what? Be seen on the outside. But whether it takes place instantly, or it's a process, or a gradual, we're not to be moved by that. Right. So when Jesus was with his disciples and he cursed the fig tree, and they came by the next day, and the disciples noticed it right away. Master, look! This fig tree that you cursed is withered and died. How did it do that? Jesus spoke to it, just like he said this morning, speak to those dry bones, prophesy to them, command those bones to live. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Did the fig tree hear him? Yes, the fig tree heard him. What, Pastor Debbie? A tree can hear? Yes, it can hear at the command of faith. It understands. Look, everything in this universe was created by words. Everything in this universe has to respond to words. It's either the word of faith or the word of doubt and unbelief. It will go either way. It will work for you either way. That's why we want to continue to release our faith. What? We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is released through our words and our actions. Our words and then actions. So when Jesus, after the disciples noticed that the fig tree had dried up, he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. He said, this is what the God kind of faith looks like. This is what the God kind of faith does. Whosoever, how many whosoever's we got in here today? That's what I'm talking about right there. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his mind. No, didn't say that. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice the emphasis is put on saying, saying, saying. We believe it. But then we're continually affirming what we're believing. That's affirming right. It with our words, with our mouth. This is why the enemy loves to play on your emotions and feelings to try to shut you down, get you in condemnation, and then you're not speaking and declaring your faith. But we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. No, you are not ignorant of his strategies of operation. Praise the Lord. So Jesus told the centurion, as you have believed. And then we looked at blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. We found out that blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the street, but he heard that Jesus was coming, so he obviously had heard some things about the right things about Jesus, that Jesus was going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He knew that Jesus said what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God the Father has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind.
Yes.
This guy was blind,
but
he heard. And when they said, Jesus is coming your way, he began to what? Release his faith with his words and his actions, because we found out that it says in there, he begins to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then his words got into his actions. Because I love the Amplified, it says he was jumping. He was jumping and shouting. And the people around him were trying to shut him down. They were trying to shut him up. What? Because that was the man's faith that was being released, because he believed if he could get a hold of Jesus that he would not be blind anymore. He believed it. He believed it in spite of all the opposition. So the people are trying to shut him down. Shut up. You need to be quiet. Stop jumping up and down. Are you crazy? And then it says what? He got even louder. That's what I'm talking about. That's a man of faith right there. When the opposition comes, he gets even louder about the word of God. He doesn't get condemned about it, get quiet about it. Well, I can't believe they think I'm foolish because I'm standing on the word of God. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. He got louder. He said, God, this is my moment. I'm going to seize my moment of opportunity. I know this Jesus. He heals blind people. Today is my moment. Today is my opportunity. I am not letting it pass me by. So he kept yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then all of a sudden, Jesus stopped and turned around. And he said, get him. And they're like, so now the ones that were against him, they're saying, hey, Jesus is calling you. He wants you to come. That quick, they switched an attitude. The very ones that were putting him down for his faith stand, now they're saying, hey, Jesus is for you, man. He's calling you. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might see, receive my sight. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. Instantly, he received his sight. Woo, that's praise God, hallelujah. Is that good news or what? All right, we're going to look at some more. We're going to look at another one today. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Without faith, we cannot please God. We're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We want to know everything we can about this God kind of faith. You'll never have faith beyond your knowledge of the Word of God. You cannot have faith beyond the knowledge of the Word of God. Faith comes from the knowledge of the Word of God. This is the only way that you're going to get the God kind of faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, more and more, over and over and over again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You've got to know the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You got to know it is God's will that you are healed and whole, and that you can walk in divine health every day of your life. It is God's will that you are healed and whole and walking in divine health every day of your life. You don't have to think so, hope so, maybe so. It is His will. Yeah, no question about it. Okay. So here in John chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. Y'all with me?
Yes.
And we're going to look at the nobleman's son here. Verse 46, reading from the Amplified this morning. It says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Having heard," say having heard.
Having heard.
He sure did. "Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him." So obviously he had heard some great things about what Jesus was doing. So he went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. So this nobleman's son, or this royal official's son, was at the very point of death, dying, leaving this physical world that we live in. And he began to beg him. How many know we don't have to beg God to heal us today? You do not need to beg God to heal you. It's the Father's good pleasure. It's His will. You know that He's always wanting His highest and His best of you. He's not withholding any good thing from you. Always remember that about the Father. He wants this for you more than you do. That's why He provided it for you 2,000 years ago. He loved you that much. He knew that one day you would need a Savior and a healer, a provider. Hallelujah. So He went ahead and provided and made all these things available for us. So here we go. "So he went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death." So this is a real serious situation.
Right.
At the point of death. He could die any moment.
Yeah.
Verse 48, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe, trust, have faith at all.'" What in the world? These people were so used in Jesus' time when he was here walking on the earth that they were moved by sight.
Yep.
They saw him heal and deliver and cast out devils and work miracles. They saw it. Now he's taking them and trying to move them from sight to what? Believing his word. Just believing his word.
Yeah.
Just taking him at his word.
Right.
You don't have to see it. Just take him at his word. So he's trying to move them from that. He says, that's why he says, "Unless you see signs, miracles happen, you never will believe." I think about Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know Thomas, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples? Jesus appeared in a room with all 11 disciples. Thomas wasn't there at that time. And the 11 told Thomas, they said, "Look, we've seen the Lord." He says, "Unless I see the nail print in his hands and thrust my hand into his side where that sword went in," he says, "I will not believe." And then all the disciples are together again another time, and they're in a room together, and Jesus shows up and appears before all of them. This time, Thomas is there. And at the very moment that Jesus shows up, Jesus addresses Thomas right off the bat. He says, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. What was Jesus doing? Trying to get them to believe in what he has said. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. In other words, Thomas, you had to see it in order to believe it. But there's even greater than this, and that's those that will believe it before they see it. That's the God kind of faith. Too many people are taking the testimony of their senses and not the testimony of the Word of God. I think about this testimony of this woman that was totally blind, and she went to a conference where there was a healing evangelist, and the healing evangelist calls her out. She goes up front, he lays hands on her, and instantly her eyes were opened. I mean, instantly. It wasn't no gradual. It was instantly. And so she goes on home, and she notices after like 3 days, her sight begins to decrease until after like 5 days she's totally blind again. Totally blind. During that time, she could have said with her mouth, well, I guess Jesus didn't heal me. You know, that's what the enemy looks for when we start questioning. But she didn't do that. She continued to praise God and thank God day in and day out for healing her, for her sight, for no more blindness. She was praising him. 3 weeks went by. She's praising God, thanking God every day. Thank you for my sight. Thank you for healing my eyes. All of a sudden, in the 3rd week, her sight comes back just like that. Instantly. Just like that. She's got her sight back. She didn't lose it no more. Wonder if during that time, during those 3 weeks, she would have said, well, this is it. I thought I was healed. It sure was good for 3 or 4 days. No. Just like a new young believer needs to get established in the Word of God if they're going to grow and be discipled and become a discipler, so those who get healed by the Word of God, or whether you have hands laid on you, whether you pray the prayer of agreement, maybe you choose the prayer of faith, you believe you receive when you pray. Whatever those choices are, whatever way, whatever one you choose to go by and you receive, you cannot be moved otherwise. Keep the switch of faith turned on. By saying, here we go, here's using that mouth as the big part, 2 fundamental elements of your faith, what you say all the time. By saying, keep the switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe I received my healing. I believe I received, not I'm going to get it. Because when you keep saying, I'm going to get it, Pastor Debbie, I know I'm going to get it, that's putting it in the future. You got to come to a place where you believe you have received it now, and it's yours now. So you keep the switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe I have received my healing or my provision or my health. I believe I have received. It's mine now. I believe it. And I'm not moving any other way off of that. Right. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, but because God said you believe the moment you released your faith that you believed you received is yours. Yep. So it's yours. Yes. I said it's yours. Not because it might look like it or feel like it. Nope. Jesus didn't say you shall walk by faith, you shall walk by feelings. No, he didn't, did he? No. Okay. So here we go. So Jesus said, unless you see, but he's moving them from sight to taking him at his word. Verse 49, the king's officer pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead. This man didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He didn't get it. Verse 50, Jesus answered him, go in peace. Your son will live. And the man, here we go. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said. Yes. What did he put his trust in? What he was feeling at that very moment? No. He put his trust in what Jesus said. Go home. What did Jesus say? Go home. Go in peace. Well, I'm telling you, that man probably was dealing with thoughts that were trying to bombard him all his way home to his son. But Jesus said, don't let the devil steal your peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. What does it tell us in Isaiah 26:3? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So that this nobleman had to keep his mind stayed on what Jesus said. Go, your son shall live. Go, your son shall live. So he was probably saying, my son will live. My son will live. My son will live. My son will live. I believe my son will. Come on now. Using his mouth. He went because his actions was put right into his, he put his words right into action. The man immediately put his trust in what God has, what Jesus said, and started home. Verse 51. But even as he was on the road going home, going down, his servants met him and reported, saying, your son lives. Woo, that's some good news right there. Your son lives. He went from near death to now, your son lives. This man acted on Jesus' words. He started on verse 50, but even as he was on the road going down, his servants met him. They reported saying, your son lives. Verse 52, so he asked them, at what time he had begun to get better? They said, yesterday, during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. Well, this man right here, this nobleman, recognized right away that that was the same time that what? The fever left. The father knew it was at the very hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. Glory to God. There it was, a 24-hour turnaround. A 24-hour turnaround, because this man, after Jesus shared some things with him, he said, I'm just going to take you at your word. I take you at your word. You said it, I believe it. Come on now. Oh. This man believed the words that Jesus spoke. Your son lives. And he asked him. Was this an instantaneous healing? No. It was not an instant miracle. No. The son started to get better the moment Jesus said, your son shall live. As the man is going home, his servants met him. They said, your son's fever has left him. He's living. He lives. The father knew that at that very hour when Jesus had said, your son will live, and he and his entire household believed. Glory to God. That's some good news right there. Yeah. Here's some household movement right here. Yeah. A whole family gets excited because they... Woo! We're seeing that like never before right now. Yeah. Families getting excited together about the word. Yeah. And it said... He and his entire household believed, they adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. Verse 54, this is the second sign, wonder work, miracle. Notice they call it a miracle right here. It was a healing miracle. It wasn't the working of miracles, one of the gifts of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. No, this was a healing miracle. And it was a, notice it called it a miracle, but yet it was a gradual. It was a process. As this man acted on the words that Jesus told him. Oh my goodness. We cannot let the devil move us or sway us off our faith and trust in what God has said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And begin to praise him and thank him day in, day out, just like that woman did. She was not moved because she went totally blind again. For 3 solid weeks, she praised God. She thanked God for her healing. Did it look like it, Pastor Debbie? No. She was totally blind again. But she praised God and thanked him in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. Right in the face of that defeat. She praised and thanked God. I'm telling you, your praise life plays a big factor. Remember, when you pray, you ask God. But when you praise, you win battles. Praise steals the mouth of the avenger. It shuts and silences the mouth of the avenger, but it, at the same time, it brings the strength of God into your situation, and that strength of God begins to move and work and operate in your situation because of what you're choosing to do as you praise and thank God for your healing. Let's stand to our feet. The very second miracle Jesus ever did was gradual. Yeah. It was not instantaneous. First one, he turned the water into wine. Second one right here. 24-hour turnaround. So whether it's instantaneous or gradual, keep the switch of faith turned on by using your mouth and saying, I believe I have received my healing. I believe it. It's mine. I'm not moved. What if Smith Wigglesworth do? He would go around and say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. That's what Paul said. He said, men, cheer up. Be happy. Get happy. Believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Say it with your mouth. I know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which he has entrusted to me. Abraham, he stayed fully persuaded. For 25 years, Abraham called those things that be not as though they were, because God has said, you shall be a father of many nations. He held on. Oh my, another day, another time. Hallelujah, praise God. Woo, I love it. Love about faith, praise God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Hallelujah, I believe. We thank you today that it went forth, stirred up the people, stirred their faith, increased their faith. They know how to release their faith and act on their faith. We give you praise and glory and honor for it this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you're in here today and this morning,